So, 17 years old. I think many of us in this room could relate to that age. You either a year under or a couple of years over. So, that's the beauty about the scripture. It doesn't bring you somebody that's just far away. A very normal young man, a 17 years old young man, who have a part-time job or have a job, just like many of us in this room could relate to that. He also have a circumstances at home. He have brothers that are not godly. A circumstances that are not right at all. They are his own brothers. And now, what is his attitude toward that? What is a way of living when you are 17, 18, 19, 22, 25, 27, 28, or even older than that? What is your reaction to that? What is your relationship with the father? Because Jacob really was not in the right place. But yet, as Chuck was saying, Joseph realized that. When his father said, go, he went. But what could we learn from a man in those kind of circumstances? I didn't come up from a good family. Say, my father had four wives. That's what Joseph could say. My father had four wives. You know, and my mother and her sister are always fighting. And the siblings never get along. And it's just a big mess in there. What is the godly young man would do when there is peer pressure? Well, my brother do whatever they wanted to do. I might as well just join the crowd. I don't want to be the odd one out. What did he do? He brought their evil report to the father. He wasn't ratting on them. He's going to the father. Do we know what it is to go to the father when there is peer pressure? When there's things around us, instead of just talking to everybody, oh, did you see what she did? Did you see what she did? How about going to the father? Having that relationship with the father instead of bowing to peer pressure.
Which is really, when we think of coming off of the study of Samson and beginning on such a note with Joseph, and it may not be that Scripture hasn't, in Genesis 37, given us the truth of the Nazarite yet. But what a picture of Joseph when we see Nazariteship was something that was established in a day of declension, when there was departure from God's ways and his purposes. And here now, when we come and we look at Joseph and we see the brethren, right, which he brought an evil report. So obviously they weren't doing the will of the Father. Right? And he stood alone again. Like the Nazarite was to stand alone in a day, stand up for the will of God, the will of the Father. And here's Joseph. He stood alone. He brought that report. And yeah, he was despised by the brethren. But it didn't change the path that he walked.
John, he was a Nazarite.
He was a Nazarite.
As a matter of fact, the first one who was called a Nazarite in Genesis 49 was Joseph.
That's right.
He lived up to it.
He lived up to it.
But Emil, you said just earlier on today, discipleship is costly. Mm. And I don't know whether we will go into where he was thrown into the pit, but we certainly learned that with him, that he stood alone, but he didn't stand alone. He stood alone among his brethren, but God stood with him and supported him. And this is where we want to come from today, isn't it? To realize that when in fact I take that stand and I don't see anybody else that is there, then I am conscious of this. That Paul said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You see, in 2 Timothy, we aren't alone, are we?
Joseph, getting kind of back to what Uncle Emil said, is a very different character than most we see in the Bible. He's probably one of the best types of Christ. Obviously not perfect, but a type of Christ. And this is where we see that he's not tattling on his brothers. When you compare him to Christ, Christ didn't tattle on the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He didn't tattle on the woman at the well. But his righteousness and his holiness revealed the wickedness in man as he was down below. after the ministry gospel last night, it was mentioned that Christ was also the light to that woman, that he revealed her wickedness. And in John 7, verse 7, it says, "The world hateth me because I testify of it that its works are evil." So him being holy and in the world, he revealed the wickedness of this world because he was completely different. His steps were completely different than theirs. And the same with Joseph. His steps were completely different from his brothers. So that you can say it's not really tattling because he revealed this wickedness by his walk. And it's the same with us in John 17. We are not of this world. And the Lord doesn't pray that we would be taken out of the world, that we would be kept from the evil. So our lives, in some small measure, should be reverently as the Lord Jesus is, that we would reveal the wickedness of this world as we are walking, because we are walking in righteousness and in holiness. That it's not that we're tattling, but the world will see a difference and they will hate us because of it, but the glory is to the Lord.
And he stood out because his father made him a coat of many colors. There is a reward, a public reward, even in this scene, when a believer lives godly. The features of Christ will be displayed in us, and others would recognize that. As a matter of fact, they will envy you for that. You would think sometimes that we envy the unbelievers. Oh, look at them. They have fun and it seems like they're happy. They're not. As a matter of fact, they envy you. They envy that you have the ability to live holy. They envy that you have the ability to live for the Lord. They envy the fact that you could say no to sin and run away from it. They desire to have what you have. You think the other way around. They really do. And God will see to it when you stand for Him that there will be a coat of many colors, that the features of Christ will be displayed in each and every one of us. They envy Him because of that. But Joseph, in spite of these severe circumstances, wasn't easy at all. Listen, everybody, every one of us wanted to be belonging to everybody. You just want to hang around, you want to be the popular kid in school or at work. You want to be the person that everybody comes around you. You don't want to be the person that everybody stays away from you or say, oh, stay away from him. You know, he's cannot really, because he doesn't go along with us in everything. Joseph was willing to pay that such a price. Because you know what? Because he loved his father. He wanted to honor his father. Do we love the Lord? Do we want to honor the Lord? If that's a motivation of my life,
amen.
There is a reward. Yeah. And there is a coat of many colors.
And I think, like you said, his brothers comparing it to the world, they knew their end. In Psalm 73, we see the end of this world. The psalmist writes about how he sees the world in her prosperity, but then the end, when he goes to the sanctuary, is destruction and desolation in a moment. But Joseph knew his end. He saw the sheaves bow. He saw the sun, the stars, and the moon bow before him. He knew that he was going to be once glorified. So throughout his whole life, I think he had this object that the Lord was going to bless him. And it's the same with us. What you reap, what you sow, you will reap. If we sow things spiritual, we're going to reap it. So you can be rest assured, and it's something really to look forward to, not for our self-gratification, but that it brings glory to the Lord, that our life might be a sweet-smelling savor to God, and how wonderful that would be. And we know our end if we sow unto righteousness. Mm-hmm.